WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, November 1st. Coming up, we'll take you south from Champaign-Urbana to the Douglas County town of Arcola, where Latinos are increasing in population and in power. That story from Illinois Newsroom's Luis Velasquez in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinoisans have so far requested far fewer mail-in ballots for the November 8th general election than they did in 2020. Alex Degman reports.
If you want to vote by mail, the State Board of Elections must receive your application by this Thursday. The board says roughly 841,000 voters have requested a ballot. Around 400,000 have been returned. This is significantly fewer than the more than 2.3 million requested for the 2020 presidential election, but it's nearly double the 427,000 people who wanted one in 2018, the last time Illinoisans elected a governor and before the COVID pandemic. Ballots must be postmarked by Election Day to be counted, but they can be received up to 2 weeks later. People who have requested to vote by mail but would now rather vote on Election Day can do so. They just need to surrender their ballot to an election judge. I'm Alex Degman.
The company that owns the Clinton nuclear power plant says it wants to keep the generating station open another 20 years. Constellation Energy is asking the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to extend the operating license for the plant and for the Dresden reactor in northern Illinois. The license for the Clinton plant had been scheduled to expire in 5 years. Constellation says passage of state and federal legislation favoring power sources that don't generate carbon make the extension possible. The Clinton plant generates enough electricity to power 800,000 homes in central Illinois. The station in DeWitt County is a huge economic engine as well. It employs more than 500 people and pays tens of millions of dollars in property taxes each year. An old virus is getting young children sick and filling hospital beds. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, there are also fewer pediatric hospital beds to fill.
Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, circulates every year. Symptoms are similar to the common cold: runny nose, cough, fever, and wheezing in children and the immunocompromised. Larry Kosiolek is a physician and infectious disease specialist at the Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. On the 21st talk show, Kosiolek said COVID-19 forced many hospitals to shift resources to the sickest population at the time, adults.
Many hospitals made a difficult decision to reduce or even eliminate pediatric healthcare resources. In the state, since the start of the pandemic, 20% of pediatric inpatient beds have been closed.
Now, RSV is causing a spike in hospitalizations among children, particularly those born during the COVID-19 pandemic and without previous immunity to the virus. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Carle Health and Aetna have reached a tentative agreement on a preferred provider contract covering Medicare patients effective January 1st. Finalization of the Medicare Advantage contract will allow Medicare-eligible state retirees to continue to be seen by Carle Healthcare providers. The agreement comes in response to the state of Illinois' choice of Aetna Medicare Advantage as the only insurance option for Illinois retirees who are eligible for Medicare. Still to come, we'll take you to Arcola, home of the annual Broomcorn Festival, and a rural community that recently elected its first Latino mayor. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Hi, it's Jeremy Hobson. My new live national call-in show, The Middle, aims to bring voices from the middle of the country into the national conversation. Next time, we'll be asking you to tell us what is an issue where you disagree with the political party that you affiliate with. You can call us at 844-4MIDDLE or reach us at listentothemiddle.com. And I hope you'll join us next time on The Middle.
Wednesday night at 8 on AM 580 and FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Drive a half hour south of I-57 from Champaign, and you'll arrive in Arcola. The small town is known as an Amish settlement. But as Illinois Newsroom's Luis Velasquez reports, Latinos in Arcola are increasing in population and power.
Doors are finally open at Vita's Food Taqueria, and meat begins to sizzle for customers waiting for their meal. A bienvenidos, or welcome sign, with an image of Frida Kahlo, greets you as you enter the restaurant. The vibrant orange and red colors in the dining area keep you company as you wait for your food. Restaurant owner Cinta Gonzalez is preparing for lunchtime. She came to Arcola in 2006 from Cabrera Jimenez, Nuevo León, a city near the border of Texas and Mexico. Like Arcola, the city is known for producing corn brooms, a simple broom, but the end that touches the floor is made out of corn.
Conocemos gente de años atrás de We know each other from years ago, from friends of my parents and friends of my grandparents who all grew up in the same town. We practically all moved to Arcola.
Nearly 3,000 residents call Arcola home. Nearly a third are Latinos, according to the latest U.S. Census data. But the growth goes beyond population.
From here all the way down to there. This is the little office I'm talking about.
Jesus Garza gives me a tour of his car shop, 3J Transmission. Cars are above the ground waiting to get fixed. Garza not only owns the shop, but is also the mayor.
The first thing we're going to do is make changes. They are being achieved, but slowly. We cried too because it's the first time that a Hispanic person won in this area.
In addition to fixing the streets and adding more streetlights in Arcola, he has noticed a shift in perceptions toward the Latino community.
All the people who thought that we Hispanics came here to rob have changed their minds completely. They don't think that anymore.
On a sunny day in early September, residents and visitors walked around the brick-layered streets for the 51st annual Broomcorn Festival. As festival goers watch broom making and eat corn, Arcola High School student Alex Gutierrez tells me people's minds are changing.
You can't fully change people's attitudes about things, but like the whole fact that he was able to actually win really changed a lot of people's minds and actually opened them up to new things.
Fellow student Vincent Medina says they feel safer in the town now.
People I haven't been friends with in the past because of past problematic views like homophobia and racism and stuff like that. I've talked to them more recently and their opinions have definitely changed. They feel a lot more welcoming.
White residents also agreed that Garza is doing a good job as mayor.
He's an upstanding guy. He really is. I can't tell you how great he's been. He really has been fine to me, my family, everybody. I don't know that anybody would have any way to complain about anything that he's done.
That was Thomas Sanders, Arcola resident who works at their local food pantry. Garza says 15 businesses have opened since being mayor. He welcomes more. Sandra Saldivar is a cake decorator and wants to open up a Mexican bakery. She was encouraged by Garza.
I think everyone should see that. And I think we learn from that. And if that motivates you, you know, if they can do it, we can do it. It's good for Latinos, Mexicanos, to grow, to be more in this country. Because a lot of them probably think, well, I don't know the language, or I have to stay at it working for someone else. But, you know, it's always good to do more.
Garza says more people want to create businesses for themselves. He says he hopes his position will encourage his Latino community to follow his steps.
I wouldn't call it a challenge, but I would call it a great achievement for us as Hispanics. Because I hope that if someone says, I will take your place, it's my turn, it will be another Hispanic person.
I am Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have dense fog again this morning, then partly cloudy skies with a high of 68 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Charlie Schlenker, Emily Hayes, Kimberly Schofield, and Luis Velasquez. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.